Right.
So I left.
Now I understand. And we were late.
Yeah, you guys were...
I understand why you were a little pissed.
You were beyond late. I mean, I left.
Yeah, well, you know...
Whose fault?
One person.
Am I looking at him?
No.
Oh.
Who are you talking to?
Okay.
I mean, really, I'm occasionally like...
Was it her?
Getting down to the lobby. No.
It was the other one.
It was him.
It was the other one.
Arriving.
Oh, okay. All right.
He didn't get in, you know, with his earphones hanging out of his head.
All right, it's the boyfriend. So
the last second.
So I'm sitting out front of the radio station, waiting, looking at my watch, a quarter till, 10 till,
mm-hmm.
5 till. Finally, the cab pulls up, and it's you guys.
Right.
We get over to the Tweeter Center, and we go through all the rigmarole of signing the release and getting our passes.
Everything is there for us. Everything was left there. We had the we have the backstage passes, you know, those wonderful little things that you put, those stickers that you put on your leg, which are such a concert tradition. We had the ticket if we wanted to actually go down and sit down. And then we had something.
The armband.
The Cabo Wabo Pass, which is this green little bracelet that we put around our arm that would indicate that we're going to be part of the little Sammy Hagar cantina on stage.
And the way that it's described is that these are people who get up on stage while Sammy Hagar is doing his part of the show, and they drink tequila. So the Sammy Hagar's manager comes out, very nice.
Couldn't be nicer.
Brings us back, says, come on back in. Make yourselves at home. As it turns out, we went, of course, to the place.
Let me just say, though. From the time we got out of the car and started to get the tickets and stuff, this is not what I would describe as a party group. We are pretty much burned out. Don is tired from doing the pregame show. We had a hell of a night the night before. It's 120 degrees. We're with Charlie Broyhill. You know, these factors contribute to what I would describe as not a festive atmosphere.
So we get there, and they want to put us in this holding area where there's all these other people outside. And we realize that right behind this holding area, in a nice patio with glass doors and air conditioning, there appears to be some kind of, like, buffet.
Ah.
So,
yeah, I mean, there's no direction, as there ever is backstage. I mean, it's like every one of these things I've ever been to where you get backstage with your... quote, exclusive, you know, we're going to go backstage thing. And there are
1,700
mooks. Not people. They're always mooks.
So what we do is we go to the part where the buffet is. And it turns out these are people who really do work on the tour.
Did we ever dial that in 100%? I guess we did when I got my plate of ribs.
Well, no.
When I stole the food, then it became, you know, obvious. But, I mean, nobody said anything.
Well, you know, Mike, you know, here's the answer. Yes, it was exclusive, but it was not that exclusive because that guy, high-pitched Eric from the Howard Stern Show,
he was there.
Came over and introduced himself to us.
And there was a guy that let us in, checked out our little badges and said, go right in. Mm-hmm. And then when I got up, because I was starving,
I had dinner,
and I got up to get a little piece of food, and the lady gave me apparently a dirty look, but we never... You know, nobody ever really yelled or said, hey, you're not supposed to be there. It was just kind of a free-floating thing. Everybody was back there.
So now Sammy Hagar's manager comes back, and he says...
This is when you're already ready to go.
Yeah, he says, you have two options. Sammy's with his family right now. Sammy would like to meet... He wants to get together with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
You can either come back and say hi now...
Right.
Or you can wait, and this is where he lost me... about an hour, and then you can drink some tequila with Sammy before the show, and then you're going to get out on stage.
Then I make the tragic error of saying to the tour manager, whatever you think is best. And, of course, the tour manager said, you know, okay, well, then why don't we just do that shot before you go out on stage? So he leaves, and as soon as he leaves, Don is done. Oh. Don says, I'm not waiting around an hour.
Oh, Mike, hold on. I just got to bring this up.
What?
We found out something else about Charlie Broyhill.
What's that?
That he refuses to eat meat off the bone.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. I said, Charlie, do you want some ribs? He says, I don't eat meat off the bone.
He will not eat meat off a bone, and he puts pepper on cantaloupe. These are two good things to know about Charlie Broyhill.
We didn't know this. Mike and I, for a good 10 minutes, we're just busting his balls.
Yeah. And he's Charlie. Charlie's, you know, unless we're all energetic, Charlie's not going to, like, direct the party. He's going to be Charlie, and then you'll get an occasional gem like, I don't eat meat off the bone. I said, so you'll eat, like, a boneless breast of chicken? And I didn't want to get into it with him, but the boneless breast of chicken was once on a bone.
Yes, it was. But it's been
all meat.
But it's been deboned.
Deboned. Right. And I said, why no meat off the bone? What's wrong with the bone? He said, veins. That was his
cartilage.
Cartilage, veins, things like that.
Curses him out.
So I finally grab a little rib, and you know, by this time, the tour manager has come out and said, you know, will you wait an hour? And Don says, I'm not waiting an hour. I don't want to wait an hour. And if I can tell you the real reason when we came into the Tweeter Center, at some one of the guys from YSP that was set up there was listening to the football game.
Oh, the guy that...
That's when Don, I knew, would rather be watching the football game than
we walked in and the guy said, hey, great job on the pregame show. I said, thanks. He said, we just ran a double reverse to the tight end. We got a first down on the 13-yard line.
It was at that moment that you did not want to be anywhere near.
No.
And we were just, it was just, everybody was kind of
tired.
So what we did, we sent Lisa back to find the manager, to tell the manager, you know what?
He said, if you feel that way, Dom, why don't we just meet Sammy Hagar now, and then we can go out and watch some of the show, and then we can leave, and you can say hi to Sammy Hagar, and you can go back and watch the football game. So the manager came back. He was, the guy, I wish we had the guy's name. Do we have the guy's name, Lisa? Because the guy could not have been nicer.
Sammy Hagar's manager.
Very, very cool guy.
Sammy Hagar, his name is Mark Litton, and Sammy Hagar could not have been nicer. He
absolutely nice, nice guy. Good.
Really, I mean, he brought us back, not like you bring back, you know, these are the breakfast flakes.
No, there are two ways you do it. Sometimes you're in a room with 750 people and you shake hands. Sometimes, you know, you get a little personal treatment. He came back, he said, hey, these guys are crazy, I love you guys, and then he introduces us to his little waitresses. He brings us in a back room where the waitresses are dressing.
Yeah, there's like half-naked girls there, and he's pointing at his genitals, saying, look, when you take those off, look what this does. Look what this, he's pointing at his genitals.
And apparently Charlie Broyhill identified the fact that I was staring at Sammy's genitals when he did that. I was saying, man, is he kidding, or is he really getting excited? And I was just staring like a mook.
Anyway, the guy...
Mook will be mentioned many times in this story.
Let me just say, for the record, as far as I'm concerned, Sammy Hagar, a man of his word.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Got us in, got us the passes.
Right.
Didn't lump us in with all the other retards that were there.
Don't speak too soon.
Well, no, at least before the show.
Yeah, you didn't go the whole day.
Couldn't have been nicer.
Right.
Real great guy.
He was a very nice guy. Very,
very
good guy.
Very happy to meet him. Had a nice conversation with him. So we leave, and I say to Mike and to Lisa and Charlie, well, that's it. I'm going to go back and watch the game. Mm-hmm. See you guys when I see you.
It's at that point that Lisa and Charlie and myself, we decide, hey, we'll go back out, watch the end of David Lee Roth, and then, you know, probably split after that. So you take off, we go out, and, you know, I am guilty, I believe, of orchestrating this entire evening. On the way out, they have this little tiki bar set up with margaritas and strawberry daiquiris that you can get there. So I get myself a little rum daiquiri, and I'm sipping on this thing. And, you know, it's a perfect drink for the 90-degree weather we're sitting in there. And we go out, and we see David Lee Roth, the end of David Lee Roth's show. And David Lee Roth, I am terribly sorry.
We've been looking at him. Ridiculous. That's the first thing we saw on
he
the
looks
monitor.
Like a grandmother wearing the wrong kind of pants.
When we walked into the Tweeter Center, we saw him on the monitor. And we all just started laughing, just looking at him.
Now, he is a guy that is in good shape for his age. He's incredible. I mean, he's got incredible, you know, he's got the guns going. He looks really strong. But he looks silly because he's wearing these outfits the outfits he has on.
Sammy Hagar was right. They're like fag clown outfits.
They're like clown outfits. The outfits would best be worn in the 1980s by a pencil-thin rocker, which David Lee Roth no longer is. David Lee Roth, for his age, you know, the guy's in good shape, but he looks, between that
that straw that he has for hair, that's left for hair, blowing around, and that mouth that looks like an old grandma mouth, he looks silly.
Tell him about when he tried to sing Jump.
And he sings Jump, and now he doesn't have a keyboard player up there. So, you know, Jump, of course, everybody remembers that. It's right at that that end phase for David Lee Roth when he was playing with Van Halen. They start Jump, and he comes out on stage for his encore, and his microphone's not turned on.
Oh.
And so he gets a new microphone, and it's not like he can go back and start again because there's no keyboard player. He's obviously playing to a track.
Oh.
You know, playing to a track to get to Jump. Otherwise, they can't do it. And so that kind of sucked. And when he would do his little leg kick, you know, he was never real graceful anyway when he was doing that, but now it looks silly. Uh-huh. So it was just my opinion that it really looked kind of silly. But more important than anything else was the way he was dressed. Sammy Hagar dresses the way a guy his age... Sammy's always been casual. I mean, he really hasn't done the spandex rock and roll
thing. We've had him, he had on jeans and a red t-shirt, and he had
clam diggers on, which cracked me up.
Yeah.
He's wearing clam diggers, you know, they go halfway up his shin. He's got the sneakers on, and he's got this collection of these bright-colored sneakers he wears. He just looks as laid back. His whole persona is California, like, laid back, Cabo, you know.
If Jimmy Buffett had balls,
right,
he'd be Sammy Hagar.
He would be, that is perfect. If Jimmy Buffett had stones, he would be Sammy Hagar. It's perfectly laid back. So we go out for the end of David Lee Roth, and I'm kind of getting motivated once I'm out in the audience. You know, I don't go to a lot of concerts, but I say to Lisa and I say to Charlie, you know, hey, this is pretty good. You know, we got the little daiquiri happening right now. Why don't we go back and, you know, we got our little green armbands, and we'll go back and we'll do that thing where we get up on stage. Because I'd like to see the setup. I'd like to, more importantly, see how he's monitored and see how it sounds up there. Because it'll probably sound better than it does up there. I say to Charlie, you know, me, Mr. Johnny Rock and Roll, I say, it'll sound a lot better when we're up on stage. So we go backstage. We get it. About this time, I'm beginning to realize that the exclusive club of people that are going to be up on stage is not really exclusive. And you notice I'm taking the quotation marks like Dr. Evil when I talk about. We get in this line, and there are drunk guys that are staggering back and forth. And this is outside in the main lobby before they even open the doors. And we're waiting, and it's hot, and we're waiting, and it's hot, and we're waiting, and it's hot. Finally,
all right,
the tour manager comes out there. I wasn't nearly there, believe me. A strawberry daiquiri that's more like a Slurpee.
He's having to describe the other people.
So they're weaving back and forth. One guy spills his beer all over my shoe. It's like, well, at least it wasn't vomit. No problem there. And finally, one of the other tour managers comes back and says, okay, we're going to get some people. We're lining them up at the other end of the lobby, but we'll bring them right back through there. Well, he didn't bring them right back through there. We waited for another half an hour. And then finally, Lisa catches the guy's eye, and we go shooting backstage. And at this point, it's a fire drill because the guy didn't pick us up where he said he was going to pick us up. We're late, so we have to go running. And I got a smoke in my hand. He said, you're going to have to put that out, sir. So I put it out, and we're on the dead run. We get backstage right when Sammy Hagar is doing his shot of tequila with everybody, with all these guys. And look, were we happy to be part of this? Yes. Were we very pleased to be invited? Yes. Were we in the state of, like, unbridled, turgid euphoria that these drunken mooks were in? No, this was not exactly what Lisa and Charlie and I were thinking of when we thought we'd be. I thought when he said he'll have a little cantina, I thought, like, back way off to the side of the stage, you'd have a couple of tables set up, and, you know, you'd just be sitting there watching them. It'd be like a little cantina.
Uh-huh.
So we get in line, backstage, and they say, all right, did everybody get their bottle of water?
I am so glad I did not go to this.
Did everybody get their bottle of water? And they're handing out the water, and Charlie says, we didn't get our bottle of water. And I said, well, I think we'll survive that, no problem at all. And Charlie and I laugh about that because we thought it was funny enough. Who needs the effing water? So at this point, they bring in this last-minute group of the drunkest Philadelphians I have ever seen in my life. These guys, a few of them with no teeth, are completely just like, hey, and a lot of the high fives going,
isn't this the greatest thing you've ever seen in the world?
And they line them all up. So they start moving them backstage further backstage, right on top of the stage where they're going to be paraded out to the...
Around this time, I'm enjoying my nice roast beef sandwich. I'm sitting in my underpants watching the Eagles and the Patriots on TV. Well,
they march us back, and then that's when the line starts, and the little manager guy that's orchestrating this little prop... We were props, is what we were. He says, man, the more people than I thought. Oh, an awful lot of people here. Okay. You got the green armor? Yeah, no problem at all. And meanwhile, the guys in front of us are going, hey, God. I mean, that's what they were doing. Right, I mean, they were staggering, bumping into me, you know, like 18 different times. And they finally get ready for the show. And I look off to the stage, side of the stage, and I see there's a bar set up. I'm like, oh, bonus. This is going to be sitting on stage. It's going to be fantastic. They're actually going to have real
drinks. Some booze.
They'll be serving some drinks. I'm there for the whole set. No problem at all. Well, we turn the corner, and I look at the bar, and what it really is kind of like a staged bar.
A facade.
Kind of a prop thing. You know, they've got a few things there, but it's really not a full bar. Mm-hmm. And then we come around the corner even further, and it's not a cantina. What they have is on either side of the stage are set up these risers
like
that you would set up like if a chorus was performing.
Oh, how nice.
It's a stand-up area, and they're jamming us like cattle into either side of the stage, and there's no place to sit down, and it becomes evident to me for the 1 hour and 45 minute show we're going to be witnessing, we are not going to be either drinking or sitting down or doing anything. We are going to be standing directly behind Sammy Hagar, having to applaud and grin and smile because we are his props up on stage. And it is at this moment that I turn around, I look at Charlie and Lisa, I say, my God, what have we done? What have we done? Because I realize I'm going to have to stand up there and not only watch the concert, but be one of those people that I am not, which is people that go, hey, clap your hands for Sammy, and smile. You have to be aware that you have to smile and be having such a good time. Well, when I'm at a concert, I really don't jump around that much. I just watch and I listen to the music, and it's not that big a deal. Jump around and... We get up to the very top row, and I'm standing next to Charlie and Lisa, and everybody's jumping as the show starts, and Sammy comes running out, and I realize this thing feels like it's going to go over.
Ooh.
That's how this thing is shaking. So I go down to the lowest possible level of the risers, and that is right behind the drunkest, toothless guy that is going, and he gets 15 minutes into the set when I'm just going, please, anywhere else, God, give me strength. I look down in the front, and in the front row, off to stage right, is Spike from WYSB. And Spike's looking at me going, oh, man, because I communicate with Spike non-verbally, and he knows exactly. And I think I mouthed the fact that I feel like an effing idiot. And Spike starts laughing, which indicates to me he knows exactly how I feel.
And you must look like an effing idiot.
I look like a complete and total moron, like everybody does. You can't be in this environment and not look like a total fool. You look like a complete and total fool as you're sitting up there, and you have to sit there and go, and he'd come over occasionally, Sammy, and point at us, and we all go, yeah, great to be your prop, Sammy, this is great. And it was, you know, very nice of him to invite us, and I'm sure maybe there are certain disc jockeys in the country that might be just thrilled to death to be there, but I've been doing this an awful long time, and it really... There wasn't any place I wanted to be less than as soon as I got on that stage, because it was so... You look like such an idiot.
So how did you get out?
Well,
how did you get out?
First thing that happens is the drunken, toothless guy, who is literally not making any sentences at all. He's just going, he appears like he's getting ready to boot. I said, not only am I going to be on stage on this riser, not sitting down, not being able to get a drink where I don't want to be, but the guy in front of me is going to vomit all over my shoes. And I swear to God, he looked like he was going to do this. Halfway through the third song, this guy staggers down, and he starts heading for the step. Now, they're really big on the fact that you can't leave once the show starts. You can't leave because it'll look foolish for the people that are on stage to leave, so you can't leave.
Mike,
so,
here's an instant message from Spike.
Right.
He says, I, in fact, did understand Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I said to Dustin, Mike isn't very effing happy.
That is so true.
But sure.
I was not happy at all. I was really, but it was too late because by the time we were on that stage, if I had known, you know, I maybe could have acted like a real dick and turned around and not gotten on the riser, but I didn't want to do that because, you know, the guy, the tour manager had these people, he got these passes.
Well, we
got
to break for the second part. How did you get out?
Finally, the plan that we concocted was Lisa would say to one of the backstage guys that she did not feel safe because the riser was wobbling around, and because we were with Lisa, we would have to leave the stage. So at that moment, I think it was like maybe four songs into it, we all went down. Lisa did a beeline off the stage in the middle of the concert, and we left right behind her.
Wow.
And then we just ran to the car.
Spike
after that.
Now writes that you had the please help me look.
I did, I swear to God. It was.
Now, where was Spike? Like in the front
Spike,
row?
Spike was right down the front row, off to the left of us, you know. So, I mean, if you were facing the stage, he was down on the lower right, and Spike was just laughing because he knew how miserable I was. And then finally, I went back again with Lisa and Charlie. We were just talking. You know, just casually talking about, hey, how big idiots are. Oh, and Sammy occasionally, he has this bit where the waitress comes out, pours him a drink,
right.
And then he takes a sip, and then he gives it to the people in the bleachers. Well, when he gave it to the right bleacher, one of the guys took it and drank it and high-fived his buddy. When they brought it over to our bleacher and he handed the drink, there was a pit bull fight, like you would not believe, with the drunken toothless guys
right.
That were just going, yeah, and then this one guy steamrolled down, grabbed it from his friend, and went and drank the whole thing. No. And it was just, it was like, F me, let me die now. That's how miserable I was.
What, Joe?
Oh. I went to the show on Friday night out at Nissan, and when I saw
Thanks for the heads up.
When I saw the setup and thought about you guys being there,
yeah.
I said to my buddy, I said, I got $100 that says Don Geronimo is not getting on those bleachers tomorrow
right.
night.
Right.
Well, you just won.
It was crazy.
Good, good. And thanks for giving me the warning.
I didn't even see them.
That's why Joe is Joe.
There he is.
But I sure did.
No, cat.
I did. I wanted to call Lisa on Saturday and give you guys a warning, but I couldn't find her phone number.
There you go. Well, that's you, Joe.
No steel tail.
No real reason to tell him.
No, cat.
Saved me a hell of a lot of embarrassment.
But Sammy was very nice to us before the show.
That's good.
Sammy could not have been. And you know what? Sammy kicked ass, even being up on stage. The comparison of the two.
Right.
I mean, it's just, you know, a great kick-ass keyboard player, great band for Sammy Hagar, and Sammy Hagar's got great energy and great wit.
David Lee Roth is going to do Jump. He'd get a keyboard player.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see any keyboard player anywhere near him.
Wow.
Just a couple of guitars and David Lee Roth and a drummer up on the stage, and then me up on the riser with the guy that was about ready to vomit. And anybody that was there that saw me up on that riser, I mean, it was really, it was just like, hey, I'm looking happy, but I'm not. I don't want to do this. I don't want to pretend that I'm, you know, I don't like that when you're out in a concert to start with, when you're putting your hands together. Isn't this the greatest place to be?
We get like one of those mooks in the Letterman audience
right.
that Rob described.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Right. Because remember, now if you don't laugh, Dave's yep. not going to tell his funniest jokes.
So, I mean, I said to Charlie at one point, we are props.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we are, you know, and there was no drinking. You give, even if you gave me a strawberry daiquiri or a margarita or, you know, just a... I didn't even drink tequila out of the bottle. But for God's sakes, don't put me up there with a bottle of water.
Remember, the better you are, the better Sammy is.
All right, we got a break. Yeah, but it was a great weekend, and we thank Philadelphia.
Yeah. Oh, it was fantastic. It really was.
Great, great weekend. We got a break. Oh, who doesn't love sex?
I do.
Dr. Natasha mm-hmm. Terry. I think that's her name.
I used to love it when I was having it.
Well, Dr. Natasha Terry is the name, and she'll be talking about it, Mike.
I mean, I have it now. But...
So you can remember what it was like.
Right. I have it now offhand.
Back in the day. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Allow myself to introduce myself. My name is Richie Cunningham, and this is my wife, Oprah.
My name is Number Two. This is my Italian confidential secretary. Her name is Alotta. Alotta for China.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
You know what I say? Always go with Frank Herzog.
If she was a little bigger, I might take a swing at her.
Very clever.
In the heat of battle the other day.
Frank Herzog, yes, I don't know, perhaps talking about his lovely wife, I'm not really sure.
Artfully avoiding terms like you, fag, and retard. It's Don and Mike.
Yes, in fact, this is the tape of Frank Herzog talking about his wife.
If she was a little bigger, I might take a swing at her.
There you go.
Florence, right?
What?
Is she still with Florence?
I don't know. It's a... shut up, Rob. Great day on the Don and Mike show. Okay, it was a drunk girl in front of the broadcast booth.
Ah.
Everyone wants me to say that, like you didn't know it was a joke when I said he was speaking about his wife.
If she was a little bigger, I might take a swing at her.
It's funnier as his wife.
Yeah, much funnier. There was no need to explain it.
No need for the disclaimer.
And we... Who knows how much his wife drinks? Hey, I'm just kidding.
And if she met Marilyn Chambers.
Yeah. You know, if she drank a lot more, she'd get bigger.
Who knows? Great day here on the show.
Yeah.
We made radio history in Washington, D.C.
If she was a little bigger, I might take a swing at her.
It's the first show ever. It's had number one ratings. And then, I'm not talking about it like some demographic.
This is overall number one.
Yep. Oh, overall listeners. Number one in morning drive. Number one in afternoon drive, and now, thanks to you guys, number one in middays.
Do you think the Post will be doing the expose now?
No. Never.
Never. Won't
never. Never. I
they
guarantee. You and I, we could go out in the street today
right.
with assault weapons
yep.
and kill a school bus full of children.
Right.
And I guaranteed it would be buried
sure.
in the back of the Metro section.
No need to put them in the front page.
It'd be buried in the back. Yeah, and it would be two local
right.
disc jockeys mm-hmm. acting crazy now, ain't they?
Hey, but Donnie Simpson is celebrating his 18th and a half anniversary. So there's that.
Yeah, right. Anyway, let's bring the sex part in. Robbie, where's the sex music here? We need some of that dirty sex music.
If she was a little bigger, I might take a swing at her.
Doesn't she have a sexy, like, Russian name?
Dr. Natasha Terry.
Dr. Natasha, this is one of the most attractive sex parts we've ever had on the show.
Yep.
Are you wearing a bra?
Yes, but it's so cold in here.
It is. It's very, very, very cold.
It's very cold.
It's nice to finally have a sexpert on the show who looks like a guy would want to lay her.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're playing your porno movie music, right?
Of course I am.
Have a seat, doctor.
Dr. Natasha Terry, she's in town here in D.C. She's running a seminar for women who have never had or have a hard time having an orgasm.
Doctor, I am at your service.
Imagine that. Well, you know, do you know what the percentage is of women who are not able to have the big O?
95%.
Well, 30% go to the grave without ever having one.
Oh, I mean at right? all.
Yeah. Right. 80% they say fake.
Right.
But out of that 80% they say there's 20% that have one semi regularly.
Okay.
So there's a lot of women out there who are not sexually satisfied.
And every time a woman has sex, well, for God's sake, she ought to be able to have the big one every single time, right?
Well, imagine this.
The way I feel about it.
Every time a guy gets in the sack.
Shut up.
Not me.
Every guy out there, imagine this, all right? Night after night, you make love to your girlfriend or your wife. Night after night.
No, nope. Yeah,
and
do
she,
not.
She brings you close to the edge, right to the edge.
Right.
And she has hers, and she's like, yeah. And you're just left hanging.
And you know what I say to you? That's why it's great to be king. That's why it's great to be a man.
And I say okay. Bravo to you, sir. Bravo.
Well, see, the female experience is, you know, they don't have one as often as you guys do. And therefore, one of the biggest...
And whose fault is that?
No, you know what?
That's God's fault.
Well, a lot of times it's a woman's fault because she doesn't know how to give one to herself.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, before you punch me with this statement, I have an explanation, all right? I really believe... Okay?
Right.
But not only do men not know how to do it,
right.
but neither do women. It's sex is not instinctual, all right? Having babies is instinctual, but having great sex and being able to please,
do it.
Being able to please your significant other is something that you need to learn to be great at. Nobody's born being great at anything, right?
I'm wrong.
You have to
you're
learn.
Wrong. You're wrong, no.
Let me ask you a very quick
learn.
Question. When you talk about knowing how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing how to do it, is it possible to be able to do it without using your mouth or your hands? Just you know what?
your thing.
Because we've heard from many other sexpers, have we not?
Yes.
That straight intercourse, a woman will not be able to. And then we had the anal queen on, and the anal queen, Chloe, said that's the only way she achieves.
But that's because she had the accident on the bicycle.
Yeah.
And I'm not kidding about that. She lost nerve endings in her
area.
Her cunny. She fell on the banana bar at a bicycle.
Well, see, that's...
So what's the truth?
Okay, the truth is variety is key. You can have all kinds of orgasms from all different areas of the body. Mm-hmm. If she had lost feeling on the outside, well, there's the infamous G-spot on the inside, or the elusive G-spot on the
inside. The G-spot's on the inside.
And every woman has one, seriously. And what we've done, okay, I have this special hot erotic video website, okay? And what we've done is we take a special camera. This is one of the millions of things we show on there. We take a special camera the size of a pencil. And a really good friend of mine, her name's Sandra Margot.
You put it inside her?
She's a sex surrogate. She was a Tiffany Million was her porn star name. Anyway, yes, we put this pencil cam inside. She self-pleasures, and you see her G-spot from arousal to climax. And if you're thinking, what's the point of that? The point is to show you guys and ladies, every woman has one, and everyone can find
it. You actually see the inside of a G on it? It's like the Green Bay Packers on it?
I admit, it kind of looks like a vibrating piece of liver, but it's cool.
Really? Are you really able to identify it?
You will never see this kind of footage anywhere else. Absolutely. It's
you bring some videos
very
with you?
Intense. No, what all it can do...
Oh,
no, you don't need to... Okay, in the past, I have produced over 23 sex education erotica videos.
Right.
And instead of traveling around with them,
right,
I put them all at my site. So if you go to betterlovelife.com, and I'll give you guys free memberships.
And now you're naked on this site, right?
You can see... I don't do most of the nudity on there.
But didn't I see the site? You're topless on there?
Well, yes. Yes, I am topless. And I wasn't Playboy when I was 30.
May I ask you a personal question?
You can ask me anything.
Are your breasts yours?
They're so fake. Second boob job.
They look good, though. They look really good.
Thank you. But we used this girl. Her name's Taylor Hayes. And put it this way, if Cindy Crawford became a porn star, her name would be Taylor Hayes. She is so hot. I'm
really
not a lesbian, but if I was, I would be all over this.
Hmm.
She does all the explicit demonstrations.
Can we see your boobs?
Okay.
Fantastic. Let me just tell you,
that would be a first for an alleged sexpert
to come
in here and show us her cans.
Wait, I am not a sexpert. I am an actual. I have a doctorate in human sexuality. I have a degree in sex therapy, and I have a doctor of education in human sexuality.
So not only will this be the most educationally qualified sex expert that we have had, this will be a woman who is going to show us her boobs.
Show the good.
Which to me, on both ends, both educationally and showing us the boobs, that's credibility. That's total credibility.
See what you got. I'm very comfortable with my body.
Well, that's good. Let's have a drum roll, please.
No, I don't do my own video.
You want to take your headphones off first? Go ahead. Whatever you need to do to be comfortable in your own skin.
Are you ready?
All right. Yeah, we're ready.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely ready.
All right. Oh. Aren't they lovely? And you get a little of the six-pack abs thing happening, too.
Yeah.
You work out a lot. Yeah, good.
Work out.
So do I.
Very nice.
Wow, this is the best sexpert we've ever had. And do you resent being called a sexpert?
No, it's just that there's a huge difference because a lot of sexperts don't have actual education and degrees behind them.
Right.
And I do. I mean, I've spent, over 14 years educating myself in the sexual area.
But don't you regret, take offense to being lumped into a category with cows like Laura Korn and Nora Hayden?
Now what's Laura Korn gonna? You know that comment. You know Nora Hayden. I'm not worried about. That's gonna get back to Korn.
You know what? Laura Korn is dead to us.
Why did we? Did we kill her?
What happened?
Can't tell you why.
Oh.
It's got to do with what we can't talk about.
Oh,
Laura Korn.
Oh, fine.
Blew us off one day.
Oh,
because
at first
she wanted to go on another show.
Would you like to be our regular sex expert?
I would love to.
Oh, okay.
She's lovely.
And Natasha, she's the best looking. She's got the best education.
Well, listen, here's the thing, and I say this to all the sex experts.
Uh-huh.
And I've been married 21 years, and I love banging my wife, and we have great sex. But I go down there and I do the yeoman's job. I mean, I will, whatever it takes, I'll try. I guarantee that woman has not had an orgasm with me.
Are you serious?
In the last 5 years.
Well, you know, I can teach you how.
And I'm not losing any sleep over it.
Hey, hold on a second. Did you hear that part? She can teach you.
I can teach any guy out there how to turn his woman, no matter how dead she's been for the last couple of years, into an exotic, erotic nympho.
Listen, my wife's not dead. she's not dead that way. We bang all the time.
Yeah, but
all the time.
You can bang all the time, but if you're not, if she's not having the big O as much as you are, believe me, it's going to get to her. It's going to frustrate her. Ask any lady out there. Take your own poll.
Hold on.
After a while, desire will be decreased.
Hold on. Hey, here you go. I'll give you a poll right now.
Is there anything a chapter in your book on how to pick up chicks?
Yeah, we have everything.
Okay, good.
No, it's seriously, it's all at the website.
Just kidding.
No, but we do have that.
We're in a different space now.
Are you or are you not?
Are you single?
I'm recently separated.
Okay.
And that's the look I get. That's the look I put on my face when I say it. I'm recently separated.
And I don't know why, unless my wife doesn't want to discuss the subject, why she's not picking up the phone.
She's usually very open and honest about that.
Yeah, let me try her cell. Hold on.
Is there a chapter for recently separated people?
We've got everything.
Do you?
Usually when you're recently separated.
Yes.
Well, it depends. There's a couple sides to it.
Frida, you can leave a message if you like. Thanks. Bye-bye.
To leave a voice message, press
1. Are you going
to
leave a message?
Honey, I'm betting you haven't had an orgasm with me in 5 years, and you're fine with it. Doc?
No way! No woman is fine without having a big O, especially...
I bet she has them. Just not with me. All right, I'm trying to call you. We have another one of these sexperts on the show. All right, love you. Goodbye.
All right, you were saying, pretending to me.
Yes.
You were saying recently separated people.
You're either on two sides, where you're so depressed and so morose that you're just kind of going, wow, what happened? Or you're like, wow, I'm separated. I'm going to take advantage of just checking out everything that's out there.
I'm not all the way on either side.
I would say Mike is halfway.
I'm right halfway. Yeah, absolutely.
He's in the middle.
He knows me. He knows me. I'm right in the middle right now.
Now, for you, I have a guaranteed way. Any woman out there, how to give her an orgasm?
Give it a chance. Now, give it a chance. I know we've met a lot of sex experts. Go ahead.
You're going to think less of me when I say this to you.
Okay, go ahead.
I don't care.
But you will when she doesn't want to do you anymore.
I've been married 21 years. It's a lifelong contract. We've always had great sex.
Okay.
Always great.
How about hypothetically, then?
Okay, because there are a lot... I mean, think about it. There's a lot of people out there, when they first got together, it was very passionate,
mm-hmm.
and they lost it, and they're just thinking, wow, do we not love each other anymore? It's not passionate. The sex isn't half as good as it used to be. It's boring, and they're concerned.
Negative to all of those, to everything you just said, and I swear to Christ,
okay.
Negative.
Well, let me tell you, I speak for myself here, Will. The next time I have sex within the next 4 or 5 years, I would like my next experience to be pleasurable for my partner, because hopefully the person that I choose to have as my partner, I will want to have her come back begging for more.
Begging, exactly, right?
Thank you.
Okay, here are a couple things you can do, all right? It's called modified...
You were so much better when you were married. Then we used to be a unified front.
I used to be with you, yeah, but now, I mean... Well, you know, I don't come from the same direction right now. You know, now I'd like to be a little more skilled.
Well, you'll see. It really will get you far. It really will.
Okay.
Okay, there's a spot inside of a woman called the cul-de-sac. That is the technical name. All right?
That's pretty funny.
And they call it that because it's at the end, all right? I'm trying to be real careful.
Okay, I got
you. So it's at the very end, and this is how you give a woman guaranteed a big O during sexual intercourse.
When you say it's at the end, do you mean like it's...
At the end of the tunnel.
Okay, so size
does matter then.
No, because usually the average tunnel length is only three and a half, four inches.
Gotcha. Well, you're in there up to your elbow then, right? I mean, you are absolutely
well, just elbow is 3 inches.
She said 3 inches.
So if you're mini me, okay, maybe.
All right. Okay.
Okay, so it's. But it's at the end of the tunnel and then down, all right? There's a little crevice right there. They call it the cul-de-sac. And after you have foreplay her and then you begin to make love to her, it would help if you put a flat pillow at the small of her back that would tilt her pelvis forward. And then you consciously aim downward, okay?
Oh,
and
this is an awful lot of work.
It's really not that difficult.
It's really fun work.
It is fun work.
You don't believe that. You're probably going to... This is one that would involve, like, you doing it.
This isn't a lot of work.
No, some of the other things have been work. But
with my wife, it's always woman on top.
But when
she's always on top. Always.
Okay, well, here's a simple maneuver for a woman on top that can, she can just take it up a notch, okay?
Okay.
Tell her to take both the palms of her hands, and when she's gyrate in circles, okay, and then press down on her lower abdomen. Wow. That is serious G-spot stimulation.
And
take it from me. I'm a woman, and I'm a
sex
therapist.
And you have nothing to do with that. So, I mean, that would be...
She can do all the work.
All right. So that would be fine
That
for
might
you.
Work for me.
Because it requires absolutely nothing. Nothing would change in your routine.
And you know what happens? You know that thing that happens that when you finish, that symbolizes you finish?
Yeah.
Do I?
Okay. Well, actually, that what I just told you,
yeah.
A lot of women have what's called FE, female. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
by
like
doing
Ginger
that
Lynn.
Simple trick that I just said.
Really?
Mm-hmm. You can see everything I'm talking about at the site.
That's the sound. And then the drip, drip, drip. All right, we're gonna break. We're going to take some calls.
Absolutely, for Dr. Natasha.
For Dr. Natasha Terry.
I like just calling her Dr. Natasha.
And the website is www.betterlovelife.com.
Now, is there anything in any of your writings about the guy? Like making it better for the guy?
Oh, my God. Yeah, there's something for everybody. We also have 365 seductions for him, for her, in video. We have... unit tricks. I'm substituting.
Wow.
We have unit tricks that teaches a woman how to perform the most phenomenal oral pleasure. Teachers, it's a full-on class on every little hot spot that a man would have. Like, for instance, you have what's called, this is an ancient Chinese secret, the million-dollar hot spot.
Really?
Taint,
right?
Yeah, but it's really, there's a very specific area that if you press it just right, you can help him explode. If you massage it just right, you can help him last longer.
And that's how Buzz ended up in the hospital. I am not kidding about
a
that.
Team of
but
doctors.
I have a disclaimer, big time.
Yeah.
You have to be 18 and over to go to the site. It is very graphic. We show you everything. So 18 and over. And it's a video site. That's why it's full of video clips. So.
All right, hold on there, Doc.
I'm going to the site.
We'll take your calls, and Mike will get some counseling during the commercials. And we'll be right back, okay?
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You know, night after night, you work, put on the show, and you do the best you can, and after all, what does it amp up to? It's because all people remember is the night the chimp grabbed Larry's balls.
Oh, they fall off!
Oh, settle down. We're not doing that right now.
No? Sorry.
No. Yeah, that's what my... life ultimately means that the way it adds up, just the monkey and some balls.
I can't believe you hired the entire staff back there.
I know. I did good, huh?
No. This would have been the perfect time to get rid of something dead wood in the office.
Oh, come on. Phil does a good job.
I don't mean Phil.
Oh, you mean Paula?
I'm not saying, but some of these people are useless. They should be cut out of here like cancer. Hello, children. Look at you, all back where you belong. Oh, God, does my heart good. The whole family is here.
All right, what are you going to start singing?
The Don and Mike Show.
Play. If she was a little bigger, I might take a swing at her.
Fast play.
Come, cup their peaches. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right, we're here with Dr. Natasha Terry, soon to be the next Mrs. Mike O'Mara.
I'm working it. I'm working it during the commercial breaks pretty hard.
I know you are.
We didn't even get the marital status of the good doctor.
Doc?
I'm married.
Do you cheat?
No. I'm monogamous. I'm happily married. Sorry, man.
There you go. Mike is leaving the room.
I'm sorry.
Website is www.betterlovelife.com. I'll tell you right now, she's hot.
Yeah.
She's incredibly hot, unlike these other sex experts. She's taking her shirt off for us.
Yeah, it says she drinks, too, and she's drinking a regular Pepsi.
But I would be remiss if I didn't tell you, like every other sex expert.
Yeah?
Really. It's so easy for guys.
No.
It's so easy for guys. You know what, really? All my wife has to do is show up. She shows up, takes her clothes off. Job done.
But I will tell you that listening to what she said before, if it's all about that angle going, you know, down in that direction, if that's all it takes,
You.
But that's not that big a deal.
You.
No, it's not like the other ones we've had.
You.
Remember, which one? Was it Nora? Who was the one that said...
I don't know, Benedict.
Who was the one who said don't give it to her?
I don't know, Mr. Arnold.
Oh, that's the tease. That's Nora.
That's Nora.
That's the tease.
They all know each other. They all travel in the same circle.
But we do all know each other. No, but that's just one way I told you. Our 365 ways
to basically
her to the big O during sexual intercourse.
But is that the guaranteed way?
That's one of the guaranteed ways. Out of all those 365, if you do them exactly how we say, you'll get there every time.
Calls, okay? We got to run. Right. Don and Benedict show, hello.
I've sided with the sexperts before when I was married also. I like Nora technique.
Not as much as today.
but it's irrelevant for me right now. It's totally irrelevant.
Well, if you hit your hand at the right angle, maybe you'll make your hand happier, Mike.
Hey, blow me.
Hey, well, you know, Mike, I can show you how to give yourself a male multiple O.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
See, I had a good point.
All right, next commercial break.
I do have actually kind of a serious question for the doc, guys.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've been with my girl for almost a year. It'll be a year, September 10th. And, we're doing good. I want to marry her and everything, but she has trouble getting to that. The big O. I have recently gotten her there with her being on top.
So you think?
No, she...
She told you?
Was actually surprised enough where she said, oh, my God. Yeah, she actually afterwards...
Well, that's a guarantee, then. Yeah. She said, oh, my God, she definitely...
No, when she was done, she wasn't expecting me to be able to do it. Hell, neither was I.
She volunteered the information.
Have we not all been lied to about that?
The thing is, she's been honest with everything else, even little things, even when I did not great... So I don't think, and she knows I'm okay with that because I know, I'm not perfect.
Hold on a second. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but she said the same thing to me.
Well, I'll accept that, and I'll get married to her, and I won't get separated. Oh, I'm sorry.
You know what? She said that we wouldn't have to get married, because she said that,
I want to marry her.
You're so unsatisfying that it doesn't matter. I'm sorry to be picking on you, pal, but you brought it up.
Oh, hey, man, I hit you. You can hit me back. It's all fair, man. That's all right.
All right. Now, my chatterbox Nimrod dumbass, what is your question for the doctor?
It happened with her on top. What other angles could I try?
Quiet. Maybe if you just shut up, you'd be able to have... What advice do you have for Harvey Fierstein?
Okay, well, first of all, where did you get your sex education from?
Hung up on it.
Okay. Well, because the reason I asked that is, seriously, most people have never been sexually educated in a way that... Or, taken a class that says...
I went to...
How you satisfy her.
I'm sure you've heard
of him.
I went to FU.
Yeah, I've heard of that. I teach there. But anyway, so yes, of course there's other angles. And one of them is the G-spot. If you have knowledge of where the G-spot is and know how to hit it, I'm talking bullseye, well, then you're able to give her a G-spot orgasm during sexual intercourse. One of the best ways is with her on top. The other way is, let's see, if she's on the bottom, you can, and you're doing another missionary style position.
Wouldn't that require that pesky communication thing, though? You got to talk?
No, well, actually, before communication is education.
That's my guy. Welcome back, Mike.
It's education.
I wasn't too far away.
Welcome back.
If you don't know diddly about sex, then you can't communicate it. If you don't know what you're doing, how are you going to communicate? Oh, wait, this is a better position.
Now, and here's what's good about sex talk.
How's this for you? You're in the wrong spot.
Wrong. I caught myself.
We've all had that happen.
Here is the greatest position. It's a Kama Sutra position, and it's called Suspended Congress.
Wow.
All right? And it's where you pull up a stool. It's a backless stool, all right? You pull it up to the wall, and the guy stands up.
You pull up a BM?
No, like a bar stool. A backless bar stool. And the guy...
How's your backless stool? You push the stool in.
Okay, right. The guy stands naked, leaning against the wall, and his back is against the wall. She sits on the stool, and each of her feet are on each side of his pelvis. Then she wraps her arms around his neck, and then she pushes against the wall, and she rocks. And that's an excellent G-spot position. And, man, it feels so good. It makes any 1-incher feel like 25 inches. I know I exaggerate a little bit there, but I'm serious. You will feel it doesn't matter what size you are, guys, you will feel like you are King Kong.
Hello, Donna Mike.
Hi, how are you? I have a question for the doctor.
She sells it, doesn't she?
She does. Hello.
She does sell it. She really does.
My girlfriend is
anatomically different from most of the people that I've been with, in that he...
How did he come to bed?
Well, she doesn't have, like, a surprise in her pants or anything, but it's like...
Okay, how?
The little man in the boat is up a little bit higher and a little bit more recessed, so it doesn't receive any direct stimulation.
The little man in the boat is under her right earlobe.
But, are significantly better, and that's usually done during, other things.
During oral stimulation?
Yeah, or manual, or, with toys or whatnot. I'm sure Buzz can fill you in on
what
those are all used.
Whatnot.
Next commercial break.
Oh, Robbie's
whatnot.
Whatnot and what for.
So I was wondering what you do in whatnot.
Yes, Buzz,
whatnot. So what is the question?
Have you been with many women before?
No.
Excuse me?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking to me.
Have you been with many women before?
I would say fewer than 10.
Okay,
yeah,
because she's not that incorrect. I mean, there's a lot of women who have one. Well, there's actually there's the C spot, abbreviating, and then there's a little hood over the C spot, and when you rub the C spot, then it pokes out of the hood.
So,
man, it's a real paint by numbers set down there, isn't it?
There is.
But you can do. There's a technique called. This is a great one. Okay, too.
Starting to come back over to your side.
A lot of friggin' work, isn't it?
I turned you there. But there's a technique called the figure eight in the sandwich, which enlivens the C spot. And what you do is you point your tongue and you do figure eights. The top of the figure eight is around the top of the C spot, and the bottom figure eight is around her whole area. WHOLE.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then
you're good.
That was
the top of the figure eight is at the top, and then
And then the sandwich. Okay, you do that eight times. Okay, really slow.
Yeah, I was recently in a car accident.
Okay. Shut up! You have a tongue, man. I saw it.
Yes, you did.
So you do eight of those figure eight.
But your mouth is going to go to
really
sleep,
quick.
Though.
No, you do it really quick, okay? And you will see it come alive. And then you were around where the C-spot is.
Buzz, put your tongue. That is disgusting.
What is Buzz doing?
Mr. Kama Sutra Casanova over there. Buzz is sitting there. Buzz was really going... that's about the grossest
wasn't
thing I've ever
you to
seen.
Look at me. I didn't want you to see that.
Don't do that again.
Sorry.
No, but, and then you smush all the areas together at the where the C spot is. You know the I don't know.
You just smush them all together.
You smush them together like a sandwich where the C spot is.
Right.
And then you point your tongue.
So you're doing hands and mouth.
Yeah. And then you go from the top to the bottom like this. How would you explain that?
you have to sealing an envelope.
But the
envelope goes left to right on your radio
like
dial.
It's like a sandwich.
You know, not top to bottom. So you have to kind of go like this side, right? And then get your head. Oh,
yeah.
God.
Yeah. No. No.
Again.
And then you trip to the chiropractor after that.
Doc, here's the thing.
Yes. What, your tongue tied?
I can't say what I want to say because of the broadcast standards.
Right.
Okay.
However,
familyize it.
It is so much work. Have you ever wondered why?
Hey, I've done it before.
Have you ever wondered why you go into a bookstore and there's books? There are no books. Meanwhile, you got freaking wings of Barnes & Noble full of books, like your books and websites,
Well, also, the easiest way to teach a man to be a better lover is through videos. But not pornos, but it's through these kinds of videos
why
that I'm talking
guys
about.
Guys have to be taught. Learn this.
Well, wait a minute. If they're erotic videos, or if they're really like erotic, the problem is with a lot of these books that you see, and you can start with the Joy of Sex way back, that had like pencil sketches of women with hair under their arms, and it was disgusting.
I used to get my jerk on to that book when I was a kid.
Did you really?
Yeah.
But you know what I mean. I mean, are your videos pretty, are they decent looking people?
Oh, yeah.
And they're showing everything.
They're up to date. They're modern. We use Playboy chicks. We use the hottest, sweetest.
All right. Good.
Seriously.
Good.
I mean, even the guys are hot. So
I'm going to go to the website.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Tonight.
Hey, Donnie, Mike. Hey, Doc.
Hi. Hey.
I have a question that you might be able to help myself as well as Mike. How do I pleasure my poodle?
Would you get out of here? Hello, Don and Mike. Show.
Another book.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Okay.
This is a very serious question, so let me set it up for you first.
Okay.
All truthfulness, the only thing long and hard on me was getting through to you guys on the phone So doing it doggy style with my wife, I have to sit up and beg and she rolls over and plays dead. How do we do it?
You got Shecky there. Most of that probably got deleted out. Here is Jason in Seattle. Jason.
How you guys doing?
Okay.
Hey, I just want to know how much it costs to access this thing, because I don't care how much work it is. It sounds like it will work like a charm.
Okay, good question. It's a membership site also because it's extremely graphic, and it's like when you sign up, it's $29.95. So when you sign up, it's as if you bought 23 videos. And they're all separated, though. We have how to satisfy a woman, how to satisfy a man.
That money and, like, click on something and, like, do it at your computer, look at it at your computer.
Yeah. The video clips will come right up.
All right.
And you will see, you'll learn everything you needed to learn,
We get on it for free?
Yeah, I'll give you guys a free membership, definitely.
You give him it. I don't need it.
I'd like
one. Well, you'd like to look out of curiosity.
Well, wouldn't he maybe even... you
it's
know,
like porno. Yeah, I know. Listen, the day they raid my house, no offense, that's the one thing that they're not going to find. They're not going to find drugs.
Right.
They're not going to find guns. And they're not going to go to my computer and see that I've gone to dirty sites.
Is it a dirty site or is it an educational site?
It's an educational site. It really is. But, you know, it can be argued because it is graphic. We show you everything. Mm-hmm. So I will admit, you don't want to look at it at work. You could get into trouble, all right? Because it's very, very graphic.
It's going to be one of those things where you try to...